Hello and welcome. I am Anna Mouglelis, and you are listening to 355, a podcast by Chanel. Tonight, in Chanel Suite at the Majestic Hotel, everything is very beautiful, very muffled. The sea looks like a blue screen, but a wild effervescence is building up downstairs. We are at the Cannes Film Festival, the most prestigious film festival. Below, on the Croisette, it is the 6 p.m. frenzy with everyone rushing to the soon-to-be-climbed mythical steps. For the fifth chapter of 355, I will meet with personalities from the world of cinema who I admire for their singular work. Together, we'll talk about creativity, boldness, and freedom. In a dialogue homage to Gabrielle Chanel, who is very close to cinema and invented a world of her own, the world of the modern woman. Creating words, that's also what cinema attempts in each film. I spoke with Charles Gilibert, French producer, accustomed to Cannes, since he recently presented the films Sils Maria in 2014 and Personal Shopper in 2016, both by Olivier Assayas, and Mustang, directed by Denis Gamze-Ergeven, a film first noticed in 2015 during La Quinzaine des Réalisateurs. This year, he comes with Yann Gonzalez's film, A Knife in the Heart, starring Vanessa Paradis, and The Long Day's Journey into Night by Bigan, selected for Un Certain Regard.
He also produced female directors like Denis Gamze-Ergeven, who with Mustang, and more recently Kings. You also produced Mia Hansen Love. I mean, with the female director, is there anything specific different about that relationship? I don't know. Do you sense anything different in relationship to financing, for example, when you produce a woman, or nothing at all?
I don't think so. For a few years now, we've been interested in women, what they have to say, how they create their universe. So it's more of an advantage. That's how I've always seen it, but don't think the industry got there until recently. I'm not talking about Hollywood, but my sense is that until this year, there was an extremely paternalistic attitude towards women. I remember a discussion with a big agent in Hollywood. I wanted him to take on a female director I worked with, and his response was, "I don't do women. They don't do money." He had the impression that they weren't money-driven and you would make less money if you worked with a female director. What he also meant, because in the United States it's more about the package, films are sold as packages, that the packages were more difficult to sell. I think that in Europe we're more open to it, we are more aware, which has allowed us to give women a bigger place in the creative process. But it's not easy for me to tell you the difference between working with a man and a woman, because I don't operate like that.
You work with an artist.
Exactly. I work with an artist.
I mean, the difference may come down to education. There are a lot of women in the schools, even the top schools like FEMIS. You make a distinction between European cinema and American cinema. I mean, European schools have a lot of women that graduate, but you don't necessarily find lots of films by women in the festival selections. I mean, we're in Cannes, not in Hollywood, but there are very few in the selection this year again. But things are going to change.
You're right. It all takes time. With three women in the official selection this year, you can clearly see that there is a problem. We can also see that things will be different next year, the year after that. things have started to move.
Yeah, it started to move. You've started to co-produce with Americans.
The first two films I co-produced, my first two feature-length films, were Paranoid Park by Gus Van Sant and Summer Hours by Olivier Sayas.
Yes, independent authors movies. Were the studios involved?
But when you work with Gus Van Sant, who at the time of Paranoid Park worked with HBO, with big studios, he made Good Will Hunting and films like that, you come into contact with agents, managers, publicists. You discover a certain approach to funding the film. It's the first time you encounter the system which works in a very, very particular way. Although it's a $3 million film, it's a fairly liberal setup with small teams. You come up against something huge. It's very different to what we know here.
Did you know that Gabrielle Chanel worked in Hollywood?
No, I didn't know that.
She was called by Sam Goldwyn. He invited her over. Fashion was a big part of cinema.
Sure.
Actresses had to be icons of beauty and modern times. She was incredibly successful for a while. She was received like a queen, but then this rigid system, which made it difficult to create a new universe, to impose, for example, sobriety when everyone wanted glitz and glamour. It's complicated. It must be hard as well to make indie movies.
Yes.
I saw a bit of it. I was in one. The teams are completely mad. The union comes on set.
What films did you do?
I did three of them.
I saw one.
And which one was it?
I can't remember. Tell me what they were called and I'll tell you. Split.
There was Split by Deborah Kampmeyer. You don't know her? She'd made slightly bigger films, but she never wanted to join a union. And we saw the repercussions on the set. I mean, the union turned up and asked us to stop shooting because an extra who was in the union had complained that it was too hot.
That's terrible.
I mean, it was in New York in August and it was 50 degrees and we were filming in a gorgeous factory, a sugar factory, the Domino factory in Brooklyn. And then the union had this great idea to request fans. It was an extremely dusty place with tiny bits of icing sugar everywhere. They couldn't have asked anything more dangerous than fans, but we were allowed back.
It wouldn't have been great for the sound either.
That's the heaviness and the magic of the cinema when you manage to overcome all those hurdles. I wanted to ask you as well, how do you choose the directors you work with?
It's about 95% about meeting the person. Desire does play a part because you are meeting someone, you want to know more, an intelligence, a vision, a sort of energy comes to the fore, and you can't distance yourself from it. In fact, you're introduced to the project, but also how it has been put together, how it fits in with earlier work, or if it's a first film, what the person did before. It all comes together in a coherent package, and that is really what you want to work with.
There are directors who express themselves exclusively through images. I mean, that's how they work. I can imagine it's difficult. It could be difficult because they need to present to project in writing or talk about it. There must be some. I mean, have you ever worked with a director like that who didn't say much, but you could envisage the world they wanted to invent?
Yann Gonzalez is a bit like that. His film Un couteau dans le cœur is in the selection here. You can see immediately what interests someone. You're right. He doesn't talk much about the script or the production, etc. But he spends ages on little details, the aesthetics, the objects, the accessories, a specific moment. And that's where we see that he has insisted on having full control of the space, of the image.
La façon dont un auteur parle de son projet.
From the way a writer talks about his project, we can tell which part of it interests him. When a writer expresses himself mainly through images and how he will capture these images, we realize right away that he has complete control over the style of the film, which extends to the costumes, the makeup, the lighting. But at the same time, gives his actors or actresses, if there are any, a great deal of freedom.
Do you have a sensitivity to costumes? I mean, as a producer, you're the one that we go to when we want to design a costume or make a film using costumes, which, for example, cost a lot of money. As a producer, money is what it's about. Do you guide your directors or do you just accept their suggestions and do with them?
Je pose la question très en amont parce que ça raconte beaucoup de la façon.
I ask the question very early on because that too tells me a lot about how the writer approaches his characters and the importance he places on their presence.
Essentielle, mais là aussi, je travaille avec.
So it's a key question. But here again, I work with directors who already pay a lot of attention to it right from the beginning, because writers who place great importance on people, their actresses in this instance, are very interested in how they will look. And that's very different from a writer who has complete confidence in the person in charge of his wardrobe. They may have worked with them on several films, writers who themselves are very involved, and I give them the means to do that. We are working on a film just now with Mia Hansen-Love, which will be filmed this summer, and the costumes are all we have talked about for the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
We're discussing the characters, intellectuals who come from New York. How can we use their costumes to bring them to life? There's been a lot of work, a lot of back and forth on this topic, because if we get one thing wrong, the actors are the most important element. What they wear is part and parcel of who they are.
Yeah, the costume can really become the backbone of a frame.
Absolutely.
I had experiences where for films we'd just go shopping, and if that year the trend was coral, then everyone would be dressed in coral, you know? I mean, it can be terrible.
That's the risk
for a director.
If you involve a designer in the costumes, you might close the door on the actors having their say. Do they like them? Find them comfortable? They need to have their say. There needs to be dialogue if the actors feel good in the costume.
Or doesn't. I mean, that can help too.
Or doesn't.
Yeah, that's right.
In any case, it's a dialogue. It's a very important, very specific choice.
To, like, getting dressed?
I like dressing up, but I don't always dress as well as I would like to or take the time to do so.
Okay. But a man can always take the easy way out and wear a suit. Women have such huge choice that it's more significant. For example, I mean, the red carpet, you go as a producer.
Yes, of course.
But do you always wear the same suit? An evening suit.
We borrow them. So I have a new one each year, which is, in my opinion, different.
But you're not sure.
I don't spend ages on it, if I'm honest. It's also another way to wear clothes. Depending on how much importance you place on your clothes, you can look rather nice or rather insignificant. It needs to be really nice in this instance. I know what I'm doing.
Okay, I'm I'm coming back to Cannes right now. People are going up the red carpet. And it's quite funny within an independent film festival to see this dress code. And I love the huge discrepancy. I mean, there are actresses who, for example, ask for doubles for their nudes, but who will go up the steps almost naked. But that's probably the difference. It's as if it's part of the job, literally. It's kind of necessary, and it gives a visibility. But at the same time, a sort of contradiction. Sometimes, you know, the fact to want to be liked. And I mean, it's funny. It's like a lovely circus.
But it's beautiful because they give the impression that they feel very empowered in their outfit. It gives them a confidence of sorts.
Yeah.
They play the game. It's beautiful. It's great that although they're really exposed, they are well protected by their outfit.
That's right. That is, you're right. And then it's what we decide to show, in fact.
Yeah, sure.
It speaks volumes. And in the end, in Cannes, you almost talk as much about those steps, a strap falling down, than the film. An actress who goes up the red carpet to present the film in competition can the next day be on the front cover of a lot of magazines or on social media. And we'll talk more about her strap that slipped than the film. That's dangerous for a producer.
I don't know if it's dangerous. It's a sign of the times. Well, yes, it is dangerous because the things in the background are getting more coverage in the film. That's very dangerous and drastic. But when you want to get people talking about you, a wardrobe malfunction can bring lots of attention.
Yeah, you're right. It gives a lot of space. Okay, I'm coming back to you as a producer. Where can you feel that you are a creator? Have you introduced people? Have you worked with directors who brought their own complete crew? How do you create your own creative space? Because you live of creation, and I imagine you need to feel it too.
To be honest, I feel the most creative, and this happened recently. It's really when I choose the directors. And when you place the films side by side, that's where I get the feeling of a thought coming together, of something taking shape. And I'm also very involved. I introduced Kristen Stewart and Olivier Sayas and other actresses and actors and directors. I get involved in a project on the same level as the other stakeholders, on the script. I love the editing room. There's a lot of freedom to do lots of things. But it's more that I feel I'm doing my work, working with a writer. When you get on well with someone or are won over by someone, as you mentioned earlier, you feed off each other, come up with ideas together, and they are really doing me a favor of allowing me to share their energy. I would say it's the films put back to back, all the writers in the same place, and suddenly they are amazed and it makes sense to them. And secondly, giving expression to the work of others. A good example is the art critic Pierre Estany, who found himself faced with what were called the New Realists, all these creators and artists whose works were special, well ahead of their time. And by simply putting words to these creations, he gave them strength. Pride, he gave them a place. And it became one of the most important artistic movements at the time, which led to other movements.
Yeah, so you're somebody who gives a voice, and if we want to know who you truly are, we have to look at all the films you've produced side by side, and it will tell us what's in your mind, in your heart, a little.
Yes, giving expression to their work on a daily basis, putting words to their work, is what I really love to do.
Ah, well, Charles, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.